Markets surged yesterday after the Federal Reserve backed off its plan to continue raising interest rates this year in the hopes of keeping the U.S. economy growing. Joining us now is Larry Summers, former Secretary of the Treasury and President Emeritus of Harvard University. Welcome back to Here and Now.
Glad to be with you, Jeremy.
So let's start with the Fed. Fed Chairman Jerome Powell said yesterday that the case for raising interest rates has weakened somewhat. Do you agree that raising interest rates in the near future would cause the economy to slow down or be bad for the economy?
I think the risks of a near-term increase in rates are substantially greater than any potential benefits. Inflation appears to be quite quiescent, with inflation expectations declining. There's evidence that the economy is slowing. So in a situation of that kind, why do you want to hit the brakes? The vehicle is, if anything, at more risk of slowing down too much than of accelerating too much. And it's very important to remember in thinking about monetary policy that it operates with a substantial lag. And so the effects of policy on the economy over the next 6 months are not going to be the policies that are pursued in the next 6 months. They're going to be the lagged effects of the policies that have been pursued over the last year. So I think the Fed, perhaps belatedly, has come to the view that there's really not a case for raising rates. They've embraced the view that the kind of normal real interest rate at which the economy will move forward at a reasonable pace, which used to be quite fast, has slowed down considerably.
Do you think, though, and it sounds like you think this is the right move by the Fed, but do you think that they are in some ways bowing to pressure from the White House? President Trump has been very vocal about not wanting the Fed to raise interest rates.
I don't see any evidence that this is a response to White House pressure. It seems to me that if you listen to the economic commentariat, they mostly have been calling for moves of this kind. If you look at what the market's been saying, the market has been signaling a desire for an adjustment of this kind. So I see no reason to think that you have to look to White House political pressure to explain.
There were a lot of fears of recession in the last couple of months as the markets dropped pretty significantly. Do you think that there are any signs of recession on the horizon at this point? And what do you think is the biggest risk to the U.S. economy right now?
I think that it's very hard to predict recessions. And usually when we have recessions, we don't succeed in predicting them in advance. I think the risks of the economy going to recession this year are not that high, perhaps 15%. I think the risks of the economy going into recession by the end of next year are approaching 50%. I think the things to look for are, what are markets pricing? Are markets anticipating that the Fed will have to ease? Are markets seeing big increases in credit spreads? Are stock prices declining? I think those are all important indicators for judging the likelihood of recession. If recession comes, I think it's most likely to be because of a spontaneous downdraft in markets, or it's likely to be because of the uncertainties associated with the global economy and the geopolitical overlay. You know, there are three largest economic systems in the world: the United States, Europe, and China. And in Europe, there's quite disturbing indications of slowing. In China, there are grounds for concern. And the more forward-looking indicators in the United States are also less robust than they had been.
Well, when it comes to Europe, one of the big uncertain parts of it right now has to do with Brexit. And there's a deadline at the end of March that the UK could crash out of the EU if there is no deal. what do you think would be – I mean, you don't have a say in what happens in Britain, but do you think that we're heading towards a second referendum on Brexit? Do you think that they will crash out of the EU, and what kind of impact would that have on the economy?
I've been watching these things for many years, and my general view in economic life is don't underestimate the capacity to kick the can forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you want my best guess would be that in some way the March deadline will be finessed and we'll still be discussing these issues in April. I think that Brexit is a bad idea for Britain, a bad idea for Europe, and a bad idea for the world. I think it was sold to the British people in a very misleading way, and I think given where things have reached, the best strategy forward would be a new referendum.
Now, what about China? You mentioned that as one of the other big parts of the global economy. These trade talks have been going on for a long time. The trade war has been now going on for a long time. What are you expecting when it comes to that? Will there be a deal, or how long can this go on?
Well, let me first just say, Jeremy, that Americans always see things through the prism of us.
Right.
And I kind of think that's probably not right in this case. There are a lot of issues facing the Chinese economy. What to do about overinvestment in the state enterprises and underinvestment in the private sector, but the need not to lose demand as you bring down investment in the state sector. How do you curb financial excess, which is a bit of a problem like pricking a balloon gently. These are large issues facing China that China would face even if there were no trade tensions with the United States, and I think they're quite serious issues. They are exacerbated by the trade tensions. I think there's a good chance that some kind of agreement will be reached by March 1st, but it's certainly not something one can bank on. And even if an agreement is reached, it may be a cosmetic agreement that unravels in the way of some of the president's other agreements, like the apparent agreement he claimed with North Korea.
I want to ask you one more thing, and it has to do with us here in the United States. The new congresswoman from New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, has gotten a lot of attention for her proposal of raising the tax rate on incomes above $10 million to 70%. What do you think of that idea, and do you think that there's any chance, after this conversation has been started once again, that something like that might happen in this country?
She is right. The Congresswoman is completely right to emphasize the importance of progressivity and to emphasize the importance of taking much more from the very top group in our population. I think, though, the place that policy should start is with base broadening and better enforcement. The fact that compliance audit rates for the richest people have gone way down is a scandal. The fact that tax shelters have been allowed to proliferate and in some ways were magnified by the recent tax cut is just wrong. So I think you can raise substantial revenue, more revenue, in fact, than the 70% plan would raise, with base broadening in areas like capital gains, in areas like better enforcement on estates. And that's where I'd rather see policy begin.
It sounds like basically an undoing of the tax cut that passed not too long ago.
An undoing of the tax cut, but there are a lot of other abuses that need to be addressed. There is a lot of room for making the system both more efficient and more fair by broadening the tax base. And that's the better way to go at raising revenue from people with high incomes.
That is Larry Summers, former Secretary of the Treasury and President Emeritus of Harvard University. Thanks, as always, for joining us.
Thank you.